It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. I think, as most of you know, that for everything that is true and genuine, there is a counterfeit. Today we're going to take a look at counterfeit love, and I don't know that we really need to go through too many news stories because all we have to do is look around us, and I'm sure that all of us can think of many, many things that are counterfeit that we see in the world when it comes to the topic of love. Well, we're going to discuss that today, and we have a wonderful guest with us that joins us from time to time, Dr. Tim Jennings. And he is a psychiatrist, and I know that you are going to enjoy and appreciate the program today as we talk about counterfeit love. I would remind you that this is a donor-supported ministry. Without your help and support, Life Talk just simply doesn't exist. And so we want to thank you for the help that you give and remind you that all you have to do, if you'd like to help us share the good news of salvation with others, is pick up the phone, call us, and let us know that you would like to donate. It's very easy to do. Just use our regular number, 800-775-4673. And there are those that are standing by waiting to take your phone call if you would like to help us stay on the air sharing the good news of salvation. We'd remind you also to go to the website, www.lifetalk.net. And at the website, you find all the different ways that you can get Life Talking programming. We have 70 radio stations across North America. We, of course, are on satellite up around the world. You can get Life Talk that way. You can get Life Talk on the several internet channels, and we have not just one feed. We have several different types. We actually have one that is just for kids. We have one that is for the regular radio programming, and then we have another one that is music only. And we are looking at the possibility. I hope that someday, at least it's a dream of mine, that someday we can have one that is also talk only. Well, in any case, we have many different ways that you can get Life Talk programming. Would also remind you once again about the podcast and the vodcast. You can go there, download these programs, use them over and over again, and share them with your neighbors and friends. The number today to give us a call if you'd like to join us on the air is 800-775-4673. And when you call in, join us on the air today, we have two books that we're giving away. And it is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? In fact, let's do it this way, Phil. Let's do it twice again. We did that the other day. In the first half hour, we will give away one of these books. The second half hour, we will give away another one. So at the end of the first half hour, if you call in, join us on the air, we'll have a drawing for one book, and then we'll do the same at the end of the program. The book is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by Dr. Tim Jennings. It is available at bookstores everywhere. It is very easy to find on the bookshelves of most bookstores, and it is a very, very popular and well-received book written from a Christian perspective by a Christian psychiatrist. So it is a great gift, and if you would like to have that, you can have an opportunity of having that sent out free of charge simply by joining us on the air today. 800-775-4673. Now, as always, we like to throw out a question to get us digging back into the Bible. And the question that we are going to share with you today to see if we can find the answer for is this. What Bible personality said that those who loved him turned against him? Now, that's a strange statement. Well, it's in the Bible. What Bible personality said that those who loved him turned against him? And I suppose, Dr. Jennings, we could ask, did they really love him to start out with? But in any case, that's the Bible question that we have today. And if you know the answer for that, give us a call, join us on the air, participate in what we are doing. An author in the United Kingdom, his name is Peter Granger, recently wrote these words, and I think you may find these words intriguing. He says, most of us have completely misunderstood the nature of love. Most of us have completely misunderstood the nature of love. Maybe we should all think about ourselves for just a moment here. And does that really apply to us? Have we misunderstood, truly misunderstood, the real nature and character of love? Well, according to this author, we have. Most of us have completely misunderstood the true nature of love. And as a consequence, we are damaging our relationships and creating problems and misery for ourselves. Well, I'm an optimistic person, but If we look around the world in a realistic way, we know that the world has a lot of suffering and misery, and maybe this individual, this author, has put his finger on something that is true and very accurate and important. Do we suffer today? Is a lot of the misery that we see a result of not really understanding completely or thoroughly what love is all about? Well, I think that there maybe is a lot of truth to that. We're going to talk about that and more today, so plan on giving us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You are what makes this program special. Our guest, as I mentioned already, is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a Christian psychiatrist and consultant, and he has written the book that we just mentioned to you, Could It Be This Simple? Well, Dr. Jennings, let's come back to basics again before we get started, really get started here today. And what is, in your mind, a definition of love? I mean, it can be characterized in so many different ways. You and I have talked a little about that issue, but let's go back and let's revisit that again.
Well, I appreciate you asking the question to kind of revisit the love so we have a good foundation where to start. And I'll give a definition, and then I want to talk about the law of love. But the definition, as I see it, is love is doing what's in the best interest of another person or other party, regardless of how one feels about it. So it's really seeking to be giving, beneficent, using your energy, resources, abilities to help uplift, heal, do good for another person, doing what's in their best interest, regardless of how you feel. That's what I think love is all about. Unfortunately, in our society, love has gotten to be about, well, what makes me feel good? I get such a good feeling when I'm with you, it must be love. But as we're going to discover, I think hopefully as we talk today, love is not really about simply how we feel.
All right. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about love. I mean, there are so many passages in the Bible. You know, one of the favorite places that I like to go about love, and this is well known to everyone, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. And the Apostle Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. That really is an accurate statement. I mean, Paul must have been a psychiatrist.
Well, and no kidding. And not only did he say that, but he said love is not self-seeking, right there, 1 Corinthians 13, which means love is that seeking the good of others.
All right, we will be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about love. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your observations. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
This is the young man who saved his money so he could plan for his future and marry the woman who would be his life's partner and buy the house nestled against the hill where they would build happy memories as the seasons passed and they raised their family and bought the things a family needs using money that was always there because they were careful stewards so that when the time came for braces to be bought or a treehouse to be built, they would have what they needed to cover the cost and avoid going into debt, which enabled them to teach their youngsters by example about careful planning and frugal living, leading their children to save their money so they could plan for the future and marry the one who would be a life's partner and buy a house against a hill where they would build.
The Bible has a lot to say about the way we live our lives and teach our children and manage our money. For a free online guide to family budgeting, visit crown.org. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about love, real love, and we're also looking at counterfeit love. What is counterfeit love? How do we know what it is? We're talking about that issue, so if you would like to give us a call, once again, the number is 800-775-4673. Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and he is a practicing physician, and he's done a lot of things. One thing that he's done, he's written this book, Could It Be This Simple? And it is a biblical model for healing the mind by Dr. Tim Jennings, a biblical model for healing the mind. We're giving one of those away by way of drawing at the bottom of the hour today. That's when we'll give the first one away. So if you'd like to have an opportunity to have that sent out to you free of charge, give us a call, 800-775-4673. And the question that we have thrown out to you is this. We're trying, of course, to get everyone back to the Bible, to look at the Bible, to see what the Bible has to say. And so the question that we're hunting for today is, what Bible personality said that those who loved him turned against him. Those that loved him turned against him. 800-775-4673. Well, Dr. Jennings, let's get back to love and what love actually is.
Yeah, you were quoting from the Bible a minute ago. One of the texts that everybody knows from the Bible is that God is love. And then you went to the 1 Corinthians 13 text where it describes what this kind of love is. And it says love is not self-centered, or love is other-centered, outward moving. And the interesting thing about Romans chapter 1, it says that in nature we can actually see God's divine nature through the things he has made.
Right.
And when you put those texts together, God is love, his nature is love. We can look into the creation he's made to see this principle of love. And this principle of love is this outward-centered movement of interest and welfare in another. And when we look into nature, I want people to see there's a principle, there's an underlying law that our life, our health, our happiness is based upon, and it is the law of love. It's this principle of giving.
Right.
You see it with the waters from the oceans give their waters to the clouds which rain over the lands, forming the lakes, rivers, and streams, bringing life to the land, flowing back to this ocean, the constant circle of flow. If a body of water separates from the circle, it stagnates and everything in it dies. It's only in the continual giving that there's life. As you give out your breath, you give carbon dioxide to the plants, and they give back oxygen to you. If you decide, I'm not going to give anymore, I'm going to take, I'm going to keep what's mine. My body makes carbon dioxide, it's mine, you can't have it. Right. The only way to do that is to stop breathing and to die. This is the principle upon which God designed the universe to work, this principle of giving, this principle of love. Likewise, in our relationships, when we seek to get, when we seek to take, we damage, we destroy ourselves, we destroy relationships. It's when we care about others that we give of our resources to benefit others that we bring health and life and happiness. I think Jesus said, the more you give, the more you will receive.
Right.
See, this is the principle that he's created the universe to run upon. This is the law of love.
Well, you know, we are by nature not loving people. We know, of course, because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, what took place there, that we have a nature of sin, which means that we are estranged from God. And so it seems now, according to the natural nature, that true love is almost strange to us. And when we read the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, I think most of us, I would even go farther than that. You never want to say something that's all-inclusive, but I think all of us, given the nature of sin, that all of us really have a hard time understanding what Paul was trying to characterize. Let me just pick up just a couple verses. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud. All of those things that he says love is not are is a characterization of sin. So love is really the antipathy of sin. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, as you have just described. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. What person in the world doesn't keep some record of wrongs? I mean, to some degree or another.
And how many people teach their image of God, that God in heaven is up there keeping records of our wrongs to punish us by, but God is love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How do we reconcile that?
Good point. Very good point. Yeah. And there's so many passages of the Bible we go to. Let me just, a little bit more here in 1 Corinthians. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Always, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Well, the bottom line is, love, from the human standpoint, does fail. It often fails because of our nature of sin. But God's love, true love, never fails, does it?
Well, and see, when you say love from a human standpoint, I would have to agree, because what you're saying there is human love, which would be, I think, some of these counterfeits to love. The greatest counterfeit to love that I think people struggle with, and they don't even realize it, they think they're in a loving relationship, is a counterfeit called dependency. People recognize the counterfeits of lust or erotic things, or the I love my football team love is not real love. But where they get confused is when they get in relationships that actually has a dependency base to it, which is a relationship that seeks to get one's own needs met rather than seeking to give. Now, where it can be a little subtle and tricky is that people can give in order to get. I'm going to do for you something so I can get your admiration, so I can get your praise, so I can get your affection. I'm going to buy you flowers so you'll like me, you see?
Right.
That's not giving. Giving is giving without any expectation of return.
Well, unpack that some for us. Because even the word relationship seems to indicate that there is something that is achieved by each person that is party to what we call a relationship.
Yeah, a relationship just means there is an interaction going on, a relating. It doesn't define the quality of what that relationship is like. And the relationship can be estranged, it can be hostile, it can be nurturing, it can be dysfunctional. The word relationship just means there's some type of interaction going on. We want to have the healthy, loving, nurturing, Christ-like, godly relationship. But in order to have that, it requires healthy, loving, nurturing, godly people.
Right. Okay?
And if you have one godly person and one ungodly person, they may have a relationship, but it won't be a healthy, loving relationship.
All right. What are some of the counterfeits? That's what we're talking about today. How do we know counterfeit love? I mean, I think most people, I think just common sense, at least to some degree, maybe not entirely, but to some degree, there is a measure of common sense here. People look and say, oh, that's a counterfeit. That's not true love.
Well, I had a patient who came to see me distraught, discouraged, and she described at home trouble with her 3 or 4 year old child. She described that her son would watch TV she didn't want him to watch, so she would go turn off the TV, and he would hit her and turn it back on. And so she would let him watch TV. Right. She would tell him to pick up his toys. He would scream at her, no. And so she would go pick up his toys. Uh-huh. If he wanted some candy and she said no, he would scream and holler and throw a fit. And so eventually she gave him candy.
Uh-huh.
And as she described this, I said, why would you do these things? What is your motivation for doing these things? And she said, well, because I want my children to love me. I want my children to be happy with me. I don't want my children to be mad at their mommy. Is that love?
Well, I mean, it's a good point. Obviously it's not love.
It is not love. But see, she is coming at this angle. In her mind, she thinks she's doing something that will achieve love between her and her child. But it will actually destroy love in this relationship, what she's doing, because what she is doing is not loving. And we'll talk about that.
Well, when we come back, let's pick up there. If you have a relationship and one person is loving and one person is not, can you really actually have love exist?
It's a great question.
All right, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come.
Make a comment on today's show. Call 800-775-4673.
LifeTalk now streams on live365.com. LifeTalk Music features the best music LifeTalk has to offer. LifeTalk Kids, with music, drama, and stories all day, every day, just for kids. And, of course, LifeTalk Radio, featuring programs like Steve Gallimore Live, the Life Quest series, Family Life Today, New Life Live, and Vibrant Life. Go to Live365.com and search for LifeTalk. That's all one word, LifeTalk, on Live365.com. Now you're able to listen to LifeTalk Radio via Live365 with your Real Player, iTunes, Winamp, Music Match, and of course Windows Media Player, and just about any other player that streams MPEG-3. Live365.com, keyword LifeTalk, all one word, on Live365.com. Now featuring live playlists for LifeTalk Music, LifeTalk Kids, and LifeTalk Radio. That's Live365.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We're talking about counterfeit love today. Do you know what counterfeit love is? What is your opinion of counterfeit love? How would you define it? Give us some examples of it. We would love to hear from you. 800-775-4673. At the bottom of the hour, we're giving away Could It Be This Simple? This book is given to us courtesy of our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings. And it is a book that is, well, it's been out just a few months now. It's a great book. It really is flying off the shelves, but he is kind enough to give two of these away today. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. So we'll give one of those away in the first half hour, one in the second half hour. You can have an opportunity to have that sent free of charge by giving us a call. Joining us on the air, 800-775-4673. Become part of the program. Let us know what you think about love, what you view as counterfeit love. And you may have suggestions about how to implement true love in your life. And also, if you have a wonderful Christian perspective on this, we'd like to hear that as well. Maybe you have a perspective about how the Bible has helped you better understand what love really is. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, let's pick up right where we left off at break and finish up on some of the things that we were talking about.
Well, I think you were asking the question, could you have love if you have a loving person with an unloving person?
Yes.
Is that the question you asked?
That's what I was wondering. Can true love actually exist? Now, we know that it says that God is love and that we weren't so lovely, so I assume that it can.
Yeah, but I don't think true love can actually exist in isolation.
Okay.
In isolation, because in order for genuine love to exist, there has to be someone to be the object of your love, someone for you to serve, someone for you to minister, someone for you to give to. This is, I think, one of the primary reasons that Eve was created in the garden as a helpmeet for Adam. Many Christians have misunderstood and thought, oh, okay, there's somebody to carry out the chores Adam assigns her. Oh, no. Eve was there so that Adam could enter into the fullness of what genuine love is all about, someone for Adam to give of himself to, someone for Adam to serve and minister to, and she would receive Adam's love and let that love flow through her back to Adam again. Thus, I think, as far as a created being can experience, the godly love, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as their love flows to each other. So I think that it would be difficult for love to exist in an atmosphere of isolation. But one person who is very loving can continue to pour themselves out in love, even if on those who would reject that love, as Christ did for us, and how he was treated. His love never stopped flowing, even though those who it was flowing to abused him and spit upon him.
Does that, then, given the example that you used in the last segment, does that in some way maybe broaden the definition of love? Because we often talk about love from the standpoint of giving, total denial of self and giving to the other person. And you gave the example of the mother, and anything that her little child wanted, she would give in to that and give it to the child. So she was giving.
Yeah, but
she was self-sacrificing, giving to this child. Is that love?
But you know, it wasn't loving because she wasn't giving what was best for the child. She wasn't giving what was in the best interest to build up, heal, redeem, restore that child. She was giving the child what she thought the child wanted in order for the child to give back to her what she was needing. And she was actually looking to receive from the child's approval, the child's validation, the child's affirmation, the child's love. And so this was not a love relationship that I described. It was a dependency relationship where her internal sense of well-being as a mother was dependent upon the child's validation of her as a mom, so she was being held hostage by her own insecurities and fears. This was not a loving relationship. A loving mother would have done what's best for that child, even if the child hated her for it.
Now, you're a Christian psychiatrist.
Yes.
So help us better understand this when it comes to adult relationships. The one, I think, with an adult, a parent, and a child is easy to understand. But when you come to adult relationships, it's not quite so simple, because who is the determining individual or the determining factor that defines what is best for the other person? Do you follow what I'm saying? In the case of the mother, she could say, I know that giving that candy to my child is not good for him. Therefore, I'm going to withhold that candy. But in an adult relationship, how can the adult relationship operate with responsibility and love as well without infringing on the rights of the other person?
Well, we maintain those healthy boundaries and governance of ourselves. If in the position of candy, of course, or even cigarette smoking or alcohol drinking or whatever it might be, with another adult, you're not in the position to withhold or determine whether they engage in those behaviors or not. But you are in a position to say that you aren't going to assist or solicit or use your own energies to assist them in that process. Example would be, I had a patient whose husband actually asked for his 40th birthday if they could have an extra partner in their bedroom with them. And she had never turned her husband down on anything and was distraught because she wanted her husband to love her.